So God is available to us. He, in his infinite wisdom and his providence and his desire to walk and talk and be with you, is available to us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our connection to God. Before we can sort of deep dive into that, talk about what that does for us, what that does through us, we have to go back. We have to go back in time to when God, Adam and Eve walked in the garden. You see, the Bible says that God came to the garden to talk and walk with Adam and Eve at the time of the evening breezes. Almost as if they had this standing meeting time where God would come in the afternoon when the breeze began blowing through, and he would commune with them, and he would walk with them, and he would talk with them, and they had intimate relationship and conversations. They were known and they knew. And then a season of humanity started that was marked by separation, where Adam and Eve, they ate that forbidden fruit, and that man was separated from God. And in this season of relationship, men and women, they looked forward to the future, that one day hope would come again. And they had separation from God, but they were hopeful. And then a season started when it was almost as if there was the disconnection had gotten thinner. The God-man were disconnected, but they were closer together. Electricity, actually, if there are wires that are dangling, that there's active electricity, it can actually arc across a gap and connect to other wires that aren't touching, and the electricity will jump a gap. And it's almost as if God's presence was able to arc the separation, and there were moments and blips where man and God were in relationship, but it was not this constant communion and connection. The book of Hosea describes the prophets of the Bible as spirit-filled men and women. The people who wrote the Bible in this period, this thing we have here that we still read and study and learn about God from. It says that the people who wrote it during this time, that the words were God-breathed, as if the people wrote down the words that God was whispering into their ear. So this season, this time, this connection, that man and God, the separation had gotten smaller. Actually, there was this tent in the center of town where they said that that's where God's presence was. And inside the tent, there was this other smaller area called the Holy of Holies. And yes, that the tent walls separated man from God's actual literal presence, but that tent was in the center of town. And so man and God were getting closer. And then there came a season where God became man and he walked among us. He was, and the Bible says you should call him Emmanuel because he is God with us. And Jesus had this habit of touching the people that he was interacting with. You know, Malchus's ear, as it was cut off, he picked it up and touched the side of his head and he reattached the ear. When he healed the blind man, he spit into dirt and he made mud and he rubbed that mud into the man's eyes and the man could see. He touched the leper when you'd never do that. And the woman who had an issue of blood, she came up behind him. He didn't even know she was going to do it. And she touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. Because God in this season came and he touched people. So you have a God who is separate. You have a God who there is disconnection, but that there are times when man experiences God. And you have a God who touches, who walks among, who dwells between, who is with. But today, Jesus promises we have the ability to walk and live and talk and operate with God inside of us, which is the Holy Spirit. And the thing is, I've heard that my entire life. Like, I've heard the Holy Spirit is God inside of us, and I know that to be true, but it doesn't strike me as incredible, as awe-inspiring, as breathtaking. And it should. It should for all of us. Let's go back again, not into the history of all humanity, but into our individual lives, into my life and possibly yours. Like inevitably there was a time, if you walk with Jesus, that relationship began. And there was a moment, maybe for you, it was experiential. Like you were living your life, you were floating along just every day, you know, bebopping around life, and something happened, something experiential happened, where you can only be described as supernatural, and you knew, for lack of a better word, that God is. And you had this experience, and this experience marked you, and from that moment on, you were a different person. Maybe for you, it wasn't some sort of like experiential, supernatural thing. There was a moment of clarity, a moment of revelation where God revealed himself to you in a way he had never before. Where it wasn't this experiential thing, but it was a realization that God has always been here, always will be here. That the invisible parts of life are the eternal parts of life. Maybe for some of you it was experiential. Maybe for some of you it was moments of clarity. But if you walk with Jesus, there was a moment when that happened. Now, depending on what sort of environment you find yourself in, like maybe that after that initial sort of honeymoon experience with God, you enter into a period of your life where you felt like maybe you wanted to always pursue that experiential peace. Like you want to experience God. You want to experience his presence. You want, everything was all about getting that experience back. And maybe you lived in the rearview mirror and you always wanted this high, intense, emotional experience, peace. Maybe for some of you who it was more of a moment of revelation, more of a moment of clarity, you viewed this as something you could dissect and take in and absorb, and it was to be systematically carved apart and understood and digested. But I don't know about you, but when I was in science class, when we dissected things, those things were inherently dead. And so you enter into a season where you were consuming, I wanted to understand, I wanted to know, I wanted to be, it was all about intellect. And I don't know what sort of journey you've walked on, but generally there's either an experience or a moment of clarity that's followed by more experiences or more moments of clarity. And the way that God talks about our life, he says words like calling and gifts and living with empowerment and freedom. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, yes, my life, my spiritual journey is absolutely marked by power. By walking in the presence of God regularly. But maybe you're like so many of us, that those either feel like empty promises, or maybe some point along the way we missed something, or we didn't talk about something, or we didn't engage with something along the way that we were always designed to. I don't know where you're at on that journey or what words you would use to describe your spiritual journey. Or if you would use the ones that God does. But what we're going to do over during this next 4 weeks in this series on the Holy Spirit called Connected is we're going to try and figure out what the Bible actually says about the Holy Spirit. Because honestly, if I had 10 of you come up here and describe the Holy Spirit, all right, you stand here, you stand here, you stand here, and we went person by person, all right, what's the Holy Spirit? What does he do? How does he do it? We would probably get 10 different answers. And the Holy Spirit has been one of the most divisive things in the church. When the Holy Spirit, one of the things he does is he brings us together, which is so unfortunate that people have used him divisively. But what we're going to try and do is focus in over the next 4 weeks on who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, what he offers us, and how that defines us. You know, in college, I played basketball, and one of my teammates was talking to us about a girl that he was talking to. And he was like, hey, so I was talking to this girl and I told her that we should start dating. This is my teammate talking. And we're like, okay. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and I told her that God told me we should be together. And we're like, mm-hmm. And that worked? Did that work? Did that work for you? Because we're taking notes. And she, in no uncertain terms, was like, God didn't tell me that's not true, but I just know it deep down. Like, that is not going to happen. We are not going to be together. And, you know, the kind of, like, super awkward piece of it was that this was the sister of one of my other teammates, which made the whole team dynamic not healthy, right? But he's this guy, and he's like, yes, God told us we'd be together, which is kind of lighthearted and funny and silly. But that same sort of spirit behind that has been devastating and damaging for centuries. I mean, you think about it, the way that people have used the Bible and God told me so to marginalize and ostracize women. Or they have used the Bible or God told me so to support seasons of racism. Or the fact that people use the Bible and God told me so to have in this country centuries of slavery. And so this idea of God leads and he's in and he's involved, like, we need to get back to what the Bible actually says about these things, because it can be silly and lighthearted, like, oh, God told me we'd be together, or it can be devastating. And so what does the Bible actually say about the Holy Spirit? And if it does say these things, what it says should draw us together and create unity, not disunity. That's what we're going to do for the next few weeks. And we basically have two points today, is that the Holy Spirit is our connection to God. That's how we experience him. And the Holy Spirit is our connection to God. And that's how we get to know him. So if you're going to follow along, turn with me to John chapter 14. You can do it on your Bibles or on your phone, or it'll be on the screens, either way. But we're going to sort of look at a couple different passages on what the Bible says, who the Holy Spirit is, where he came from, what he came to do, and how he connects us to God. So we're going to start in verse 16. So John chapter 14, verse 16, it says this. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. And actually, another part of the Bible, it tells us that Jesus is still in heaven to this day. And he is at the right hand of God, and he is making petitions and requests on our behalf, even to today. And it's such a beautiful thing to realize that in God's presence right now, Jesus, who knows what's going on in your life before you do, who knows you better than you know yourself, is at the right hand of God, making requests and petitions on your behalf right now. But he's saying here, he's telling them that he's about to go away. And when he goes away, he's going to ask for the Holy Spirit on our behalf. But I was struck by this week, what a beautiful thing that is, that in that moment and still to today, that Jesus is at God's right hand making petitions for you and making petitions for me. But here's what he says. He says, another advocate. And so those two words, let's deep dive into those for a second. So it's another. So what I have here is a muffin. And what I have here is, right, can we all agree this is a muffin, by the way? So we all agreed in church. That's like the first time it's ever happened. All right. So what we have here is another muffin. So far, so good, right? Right. So he says here, I'm going to send another advocate. But this another here is what he's saying is it's not like another, like here's a muffin and here's another muffin. What he's saying is that I'm going to send someone after me who is just like me. The word there, it carries this connotation of identical, just like, of the same substance, made of the same thing, from the same place. So it's not like a muffin and another muffin. He's like, I have been with you, and I have been your advocate. And after I go, I'm going to send another just like me. I'm sorry, whoever vacuums after this, I apologize in advance, because there are a few crumbs up here. But anyway, so Jesus, right, is that I'm going to send another just like me after I leave. And what I've heard people say before in the past is like, man, like those people, they got to walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus. And if I had that experience, then my spiritual journey would have gone so differently if I could ask him questions. And this says that we have that exact same another just like Jesus available to us. That word advocate is the Greek word parakaleo, which means advocate or helper or friend, or and it's positioning. So it's It's someone who is, if I'm here, the parakaleo is right next to me. And as I move, they move. And so what he says is, after I go, I'm going to send someone after me who is just like me, who is going to be your help, who's going to be your friend, who's going to be your guide, who's going to be your support. And as you move, they will move. And as you have operate through life, they will operate alongside of you. Where you go, they will go. Let's keep reading. So let me start over. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Like, if you've ever lost someone, if you've had someone you love and relied on die, if you've been dumped and gone through seasons of loneliness, if you felt like you were an island on a planet with billions of people, but none of them knew you, none of them were there for you, like if you've gone through seasons where you felt alone and helpless and hopeless and lonely, and that's dramatic, and maybe you felt that in less dramatic ways, then this is something you should write like in permanent marker on the mirror in your bedroom. Because he says, I will send one just like me, of the same substance as me, who will move as you move, who will never leave you. And when it comes to talking about the Holy Spirit, I feel like we consider it every day. We know these things. These are not dramatic. And that is life-changing. That is freeing. That is, no matter where I go, no matter what's happening, no matter what I do, what mistakes I make, that person will never leave me. I cannot err and make mistakes in my life enough to get that person away from me. Because if God sends his Holy Spirit to me, he will never leave me. There's nothing you can do to make him leave you. And that's powerful. Let's keep reading. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. This is kind of a principle about the Holy Spirit, and it kind of is his job description. He said the Holy Spirit will never draw attention to himself, which is why he's kind of like this hard, like it's this hard topic to sort of wrestle with on who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, because the Holy Spirit never draws attention to himself. Like the Holy Spirit's job is to draw attention to God the Father, or draw attention to the saving work of Jesus, or us, and even the Holy Spirit will draw attention to your giftedness and your calling. But he never draws attention to himself. Like if you've ever heard someone, you know, give a sermon or play a worship song, and you felt like, man, like that person, they're so talented, they're so good at what they do. Somewhere in that exchange is a malfunction of what the Holy Spirit does. Because if someone's up here and they're leading in worship, if they're talking about Jesus, it should not be that person's so great at what they do. It's that person and I serve a great God. The Holy Spirit moves in great ways through them. Like, I'll be honest, like, and then after I say this, like, inevitably you're gonna be like, oh, great sermon. But like, when I'm up here, like, I went through this season of my life when it was this internal tension and turmoil where I didn't know for sure if I was doing it for his glory or my own. And it has to be only solely for his glory. Like, this is not about me. It's only about him. And when the worship band's up here, they're singing about a great God, and the gifts that they have, they operate with, they were given to them from God. They use them for God, and it is not about them. And sometimes we make it about them. And the Holy Spirit always only draws attention to God, to the saving work of Jesus, to your giftedness, the way that you are called. And this is the Holy Spirit that he sends us. As we keep reading, he says, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. This Holy Spirit of God, this another advocate, just like Jesus, who is in us, is available to us, is inside of us, and he connects us to God so that we can walk and talk and experience him. Like if in your daily life you feel like you haven't experienced God recently, there is that connection point between God and man is the Holy Spirit, and that is how you experience God. If you have not felt his presence in your life recently, that is the Holy Spirit. You know, so almost exactly a year ago, I was, my father was watching a movie called A Walk in the Woods, which I've never seen. And then he called myself and my two brothers, and he was like, guys, I really want to go for a couple-day backpacking trip, hike through the woods. And I was like, okay, that sounds like fun. My father's 71, by the way. And my brothers have never done this before. I actually had done it before. And so I was like, okay, where do you want to go? He doesn't know. Do you know how you want to do it? He doesn't know. He's never done it before, but he wants to connect with his sons and go take a walk in the woods. And so I'm like, okay, let's make a plan. And so we made a plan and we picked a date and we had our backpacks packed. And this is a picture of us right before we go, almost a year ago, on a backpacking trip. So I'm the one on the left. I'm just kidding. You know who that I am. And that's my dad and my younger brother and my older brother. And we're about to go on a backpacking trip. And actually, the funny thing is, like, we're about to go down the trail that we're supposed to take, but we take the wrong trail. And so, like, 15 minutes later, we're, like, back to the other one. We take another picture in the exact same spot. But let's just imagine that never happened. All right. Also, that's my dad smiling. I don't know if you... He's excited there. You can't tell that, but that's his excited face. It's him excited. Him sad. Him happy. No. This is my father smiling. So anyway, we're hiking. And before we took off on this trip, we were like, all right, well, let's go this far and let's go this many miles. If you've never done anything like this before, water is everything. Like you put your food in water and you boil it, and that's how you eat. And obviously you need water to drink. And so you have to camp next to water. And so we're like, we can stop for water here, or we can stop for water here. And obviously at this point, I mean, look at us. We're optimistic. We're excited. Nope, go back. We're like, all right, you know, we can go this many miles in this time, no problem. Like, let's go for it. Let's go for the further mile marker. Fast forward a couple hours down the road, and this is us. Right? And my one brother took this picture, and so he's not in it right now. But we are less optimistic here, like less excited. And at this point, like, we are pretty done for the day. But we're still a couple miles from our planned campsite. And, you know, my brothers and my dad and myself, you know, we're not doing real well right now at this point. And I don't know about in your life, but I so rarely actually experience any real need because I live such a privileged life that moments where, like, I have an actual real desperate need, they so rarely come up. But in this moment, like, there was an actual real desperate need. Like, we need water and we're miles from it and we're exhausted. And I remember walking down the trail and being like, God, I need you to show up because we are not going to get to water and we need water. And I don't know what to do. And so this is what happened. So I'm like, God, I need you to show up. So what should I do? He goes like this, ready? He goes, I was like, I'm sorry, what was that? I didn't catch that. What was that? And here's this other picture. It's me at the bottom. And he goes, you see, I had been walking and all I could focus on was how tired we were and how much we needed water and our canteens and our water bottles were empty. And I had been walking along all the evidence I could possibly need that God is bigger than my problem. In that moment, all he did was like, hey man, do you see what you're walking next to? Like, I've got you. Like, there's no problem here that I can't solve. I'm bigger than that problem. Trust me. And as we go through those experiences, as we experience God in ways like this, and if I allowed you to tell your story, you'd come up with those similar stories of you had needs and God showed up and your faith grew because you experienced God. But that experience is through that avenue, that connection of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that allows us to connect and experience God. That's our first point. Second point is this, is that not only does the Holy Spirit allow our connection so we can experience God, the Holy Spirit is our connection so that we can learn to know and be known by God. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. And it says this, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets." So there's so much about that that like, I need to unpack, right? That the fact that there are beautiful, deep secrets of God that are available to us, it makes me want to go in search of what these things are and who these things are. And chances are, like, if you've walked with God for any amount of time, you've been like, all right, I want to know you, God. Like, reveal yourself to me. And we're like, if I could only figure out how to know God. And meanwhile, God is like with the Holy Spirit, like, I'm right here. You know, I'm right here. I would love to give you my secrets of who I am and the deep truths about what that makes you, and yes, these are available to you. And we're over here and we're like, man, I wish I could know God more. God's like, I'm right here. Like, you know, here you go. I want to give you. It's so obvious and it's attainable. It's like, so my wife, who was here last service, when it's her birthday or anniversary, she will be like, yes, it's my birthday in 1 month. And I would like this thing in this size, in this way, with this packaging. And I would like that on my birthday, please. Whereas me, I'm like, well, I want you to be thoughtful and I want you to think about me because I'm so interesting and compelling, and just think about me and bring awesome gifts to me. And she's like, no. Give me this in this way. And this is my size and that's what I want. And so I'm like, oh, okay, honey. Right? I go and I get the wrong thing. And she's like, no, how did you get the wrong thing? Like, it was so obvious. I was like, yes, but I want to search you and know you and the mystery that is you. And she's like, but I wanted this. Right? Like, it's too obvious. It's too easy. I wanted to be spontaneous and difficult. I don't know. But this is what it's like. It's like God's like, hey, man, like, I am here and I'm available to you. And I'm available to you through the Holy Spirit. So just access me through him and know me deeply. And when you know me, you'll know yourself better. You know, I talked a little bit earlier about this thing I'm doing now. But there was this season in my life when it came to this. It came to sort of speaking about the God's word in front of people, that I was not embarrassed of it, but I didn't want for people to give glory to me. Like, I wanted God to get all of the glory because he deserves all of it because it's his word and it's his gifts going through me. And so when I talk about it, and when I talk about, you know, what I was passionate and what I enjoyed, I wouldn't talk about this because I didn't want people to think, like, I always wanted to be in front of people. And I didn't want people to think that I liked being the one doing all the talking. And so I was almost like shy of this reality. When it comes right down to it, I'm not up here because I want the attention. I want to be the one up front. It's because this is what God created me for. And until I understand who God is, I can't understand who he made me to be. And so in your life, like, you can't understand who God made you to be until you understand who God is to some degree. You know, and as you understand more of who God is, you understand more of who he made you to be. As we keep reading in this passage, we go further. It says, "And we have received God's Spirit, not the world spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us." In this recent study, thousands of people across the country, very, very important and scientific, they wanted to figure out what superpowers people wanted the most. And number three on the list is knowing people's thoughts, knowing what people are thinking about them, you know, like real time, which I would never want, especially now because there's so many of you guys here. That'd be overwhelming. But what he's saying here, he says, hey, man, like, you can know my thoughts. And how much more would we walk in light of God's love and his grace and his forgiveness if we knew God's thoughts about us? Like if we fundamentally believe that God is a loving God and a forgiving God and a good God, then his thoughts about us, if we knew them, they would define us and they would free us. Like the Bible talks, and we were singing earlier, but the Holy Spirit frees us, like he frees people of their addictions and their chains. And that's how he does it, by showing them what God thinks about them. And when I have God in heaven who looks down on me with love, it doesn't matter what people on this earth say about me. I am set free by that. And this is what this passage is saying. He said, as you learn more about who God is through the connection of the Holy Spirit, you are set free by that. The wonderful things he says about us. He freely gives us. This is that connection of the Holy Spirit. So we experience God through the Holy Spirit, and we learn about who God is and who he makes us to be through the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to close with this piece right here. And this is from the book of Luke. And I'm going to close with this. And it's a short verse, and it's only a few words long, but here it is. It says this in Luke 11, chapter 13. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we've talked so much about what our life is and the power that is possible and available and the ability to know God and the way that would help us define us and free us. And it's through this connection to the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're like, man, that sounds amazing. And I wish that those words were the same words that I would use to describe my own spiritual journey, but that's not where I'm at. Well, Jesus makes us a promise. And this is one of my favorite things to do, is to rest in light of Jesus' promises to me. Because when he makes a promise, I expect him to walk in that promise because he is faithful. And so it's for me to say, all right, Jesus, you've promised me something. I'm going to expect you to live that out. That's not testing Jesus. That's trusting Jesus. And so this idea that if we ask God through the Holy Spirit, he will give us the Holy Spirit. And through the Spirit, we'll experience him and we will know him. Like, this isn't testing him, that's trusting him. And so this week, Harbor, what we are going to do as a community is ask him for the Holy Spirit. Ask him to show us who God is and who that makes us. Ask him to show us the ways that he's been providing and protecting for us, and we didn't even realize it. Ask for him to allow us to experience God in real and fresh ways this week. Like, this week, as a community, we're going to ask God to give us the Holy Spirit. And then next Sunday at this time, it's going to be story time. Like, you don't have to tell me, but tell someone you trust in leadership. Tell an elder, tell Kelly, tell Mike Lynch, tell John, whoever. Find someone you know, find someone you trust, and say, I asked God for the Holy Spirit, and he showed up in this way. And it's going to be amazing. Next Sunday is story time, because between now and then, we as a community are going to ask God for the Holy Spirit. We're not going to test God. We're going to trust God. So the Celtic Christians, early church fathers from Ireland and Scotland, they had this name for the Holy Spirit, and they found it from nature. They're like, oh, there's this aspect of nature that reminds us of the Holy Spirit. And so they called the Holy Spirit the wild goose. Okay? And I was reading like this paper by this ornithologist this week about geese. And he was like, I can train chickens to eat out of my hands. I can train ducks to do what I say. But if I try and control a goose, they will peck at me and they will fly away. Like, geese, no matter how hard you try, for how long you try, you can't control them. And if you try to control them, they will move away and do the wild goose thing that the wild goose always does. And this seems so appropriate. Because this is as the Holy Spirit moves. You can't control the Spirit. You can't tell the Spirit what to do. If you try and force the issue, like, you cannot make him do what you want him to do. But this week, I am inviting you as a community to go on a wild goose chase. This week as a community, we are going to ask God to send the Spirit and ask Him to show Himself to us and reveal Himself to us in ways that are new and that are fresh. And then next Sunday, it's going to be story time. And this would be a beautiful and powerful moment for us as a community, because a Spirit-filled life is a frontier, wagons west, undiscovered country life where He will take you into spaces and conversations and people and relationships that you didn't think possible, you didn't know were going to happen. You just move and operate at the whims and the leadings of the Holy Spirit, and it is powerful and it is beautiful. And that's where you find these words to use for your spiritual journey, like powerful, like called, like moved, like Spirit filled. So won't you join me this week on our wild goose chase? Let me close in prayer. God, we are moved by You. We are in need of You. Like without You and Your Spirit and Your Spirit's leadings, that we would be floating through life and we would make our life only solely about ourselves. But You say, You promise, God, that You are available and You move and You can be known by You and we can know You and we can experience You if we simply ask You for the Holy Spirit. And so as a community this week, God, this is what we are going to do. We all have homework. We're going to ask You to show up in new and fresh ways through the Holy Spirit and show us who we are, call us to new ways, show us who You are so we can experience You. God, give us the Holy Spirit this week. And next week, let it be story time. Let us share with one another and encourage one another on how we learned of You, how we grew in our faith, how we lived the Spirit-filled frontier life. We are connected to You by the Spirit, and we so often overlook Him. God, send us on a wild goose chase. We love You. In Your name, amen.